Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I am your host, Perseus Poku. Titus 1:9 says that we must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Again, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So today we wanted to just talk about this concept of Christian apologetics in the everyday lives and this concept or this principle of defending our faith, this whole reality of holding firm to the trustworthy message. God's word is trustworthy. And in all aspects of life or our lives, we are mandated to stand firm on this message, on this gospel, on this euangelion that we know can be trusted. If you hold on to what God has said, we know that his principles will never come back void. So we must hold firm regardless of how our nation is going, regardless of how our society is going. If we rely on God, we know we can trust him as well as his word 100%. So in previous episodes, we visited the major essentials of the faith. And today we just want to talk about the reality of Christian apologetics, the reality of Christian apologetics. God has called all of us to engage in Christian apologetics. That word apologia, meaning defense, is the same word that we get our English word apology from, but not in a sense of sorrow or regret. This word apologia, it's more in the legal sense that we're able to stand in the courtroom of life and offer a rational and articulate and reasonable defense or argument for why we believe what we believe. So we as Christians, we do not apologize for being Christians. What we are doing is to rightly divide the word of God with boldness. And that boldness is infused in us by the power of the Holy Ghost. So we as Christians, first of all, God has saved us and we are eternally sealed. But now that we are sealed, until he comes back, God wants us to do something. And that something is to glorify him. That something is to let our light shine and not keep it under a bushel. That something is for God to use us as instruments, as holy instruments, and holy mean that we're set apart for God to use. So now that we're saved, we have a mission, we have a mandate, and that mandate is not exclusive to the pastors, it's not exclusive to the elders, it's not exclusive to your church leaders. All Christians, including yourself, are called to reconcile the lost world back to the Father. So we all have work to do. And I firmly believe that if all Christians, or even the majority of Christians, would step up to the standard that God has for us, our nation will be in a better place. Our society will be in a better place. Our community would be in a better place. And more importantly, our homes would be in a better place. So the reality of Christian apologetics, first of all, there are some key terms that I'd like to share And for some of you, you may already know these terms. And for other listeners, this may be the first time that you've heard it. And for those of you that have heard it before, perhaps you may not fully understand the etymology or the understanding or the origin of these terms and what they mean in Christendom. Oftentimes we have these nice Bibles, these nice shiny leather Bibles, but yet we haven't quite mastered how to use our Bibles. And we have these cross-reference sections and we have these footnotes that deals with highlighted information such as the MSS. Do you know what the MSS stand for in your Bible? Manuscripts, that's what it stands for. Sometimes you come across the term Masoretic text. Do you know what that stands for? So we as Christians, we have a lot to learn. And the more we learn, the more information we have to properly and adequately and reasonably answer questions about our faith. And it's not negotiable. It's not optional in the sense that I'm a Christian, but I don't want to defend my faith, or to even say I'm a Christian and I don't want to study the word. That's for my pastor, or that's for my Bible study teacher, or that's for my Sunday school teacher. It's not an option. As a Christian, all of us have the same mandate. We have to grapple with God's word. We have to struggle with it. We have to learn God's word. We have to read God's word. And definitely, we have to study God's word. So we must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught. And it's been taught since the first century. It's been given to us by the apostles first, then to the disciples of those apostles. And through the chronology of time, God's word has been handed all the way down even to us. And it's still pristine, and it's still trustworthy, and it's still true. And so we have to carry it on today and also give it to the next generation as it has been all these years. So until Jesus comes back, we must hold firm to the trustworthy message just as it has been taught. Why? So that we can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. And so God's word is encouraging. God's word encourages us to go and take the next step. It encourages us to do a lot more than we've been doing. It encourages us to let go of the shackles that weigh us down and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is found in Christ Jesus. So there are some terms in Christendom that I thought is very important for us. First of all, philosophy, right? Many of you have heard the term philosophy and it turns you off. Sometimes because of the way you were exposed to it the first time around. Perhaps you took a class and the teacher talked about the Stoics and Epicureans and the Greeks and Philo and Socrates and all these other persons that we've come across, and we found it boring and we found it insignificant. You know, some of you even think it's just worldly. But the term philosophy is not a dirty word. The term philosophy comes from two Greek words, phileo and sophos, or Sophia. And both words combined, phileo, which is love in English, as well as Sophia, which is wisdom in the Greek, are put together to create this word philosophy. So phileo plus sophos, or Sophia, is translated philosophy in the English. And when it's put together, is basically the love of wisdom. So phileo in the Greek meaning love, Sophia in the Greek meaning wisdom, are blended together to create this word philosophy, which means the love of wisdom. Now, how many Christians do not love wisdom? We should love wisdom. And so in the clinical sense, the word philosophy is not secular, but in the spiritual sense, we got to move it from the worldly sense to the spiritual sense. Again, this word philosophy, the love of wisdom, there's only one place for wisdom. Wisdom comes from God, who gives to all men, all women, liberally. So we, as Christians, must know the wisdom that God provides for us. And when God gives us wisdom, it is for our benefit, and it's for us to grow in Him. In terms of wisdom, let me explain this. Wisdom is knowledge applied, meaning that you know when to do something. That's wisdom. You know when to talk. You know when to not talk. You know when to listen. You know how far to go. That's wisdom, the application of knowledge. A lot of people have knowledge, but they don't know how to apply it correctly. A lot of people graduate from colleges, universities, seminaries, and they have a lot of knowledge, but they don't know how to apply their knowledge in an effective way. And that's what God does. When we go to God, He, through the Holy Spirit, infuses us with wisdom. And that wisdom can take you further than any degree can. If you learn godly wisdom, your life would be better. So philosophy is not a dirty word, like I said. Philosophy, in its basic sense, just basically means the love of wisdom. And if you love wisdom, you should be interested in philosophy, not just for head knowledge, but to grow in Christ so you can be ready to answer each question, a reason for the hope that lies within you. So when your neighbor have a question, you can give them godly wisdom. When your family members have questions about life or have questions about their faith, you can give them godly wisdom. I just read yesterday, there was an article about a famous popular singer, and she was talking about her background and how her family switched all these religions, meaning that their parents took them through Catholicism, then took them through Methodist, then took them through Baptist. So as a result, these children became confused about their faith. So in essence, they were walking with religion versus having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what God wants us to have. It's not religion. God wants us to have a relationship. So now here she is in her 50s, and she's just as confused as someone who never knew Jesus Christ or someone who never set foot in a church because of the path and the standard that her parents set for her in grasping on to religion versus a relationship with Jesus Christ. So wisdom dictates that when you go to church, you're not, or you shouldn't go to church just because of good music. You shouldn't go to church just because someone else is going to church. You shouldn't go to church just because the pastor is so articulate. You should go to church, number one, to get to know Jesus better. You should go to church to worship Jesus. You should go to church for Jesus' sake, not for anyone else's sake, but we go to church for our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if the church is not teaching the Bible, then you find another church, because ultimately it's about you and Jesus, not you and that pastor, not you and that deacon, and not you and that the friends. Ultimately, we all have to stand in front of Jesus Christ and give an account of why we did the things that we did. So from philosophy, I want to shift to another word that's not popular. There's a word called metaphysics. Metaphysics. If you have Christian textbooks, or if you are doing research for your Bible study, every now and then you'll run across this word called metaphysics. And basically, metaphysics talks about things that are beyond the physical realm. Beyond the physical realm. So things like prayer can fall under the category of metaphysics. Things like angels can fall under the terms of metaphysics. Ontology, That word deals with the beingness, meaning that God created different types of beings. That falls under metaphysics. So human being falls under the category of metaphysics. Souls fall under the category of metaphysics. And it's I love talking about metaphysics because it deals with reality. So, for example, when we talk about souls, how many of you all know that God created three types of souls? We have the human soul, we have the animalistic soul, and then we have the vegetative soul. So human souls is what we have. Is different or is distinct from the vegetative soul, which plants have. Many of you all are familiar with plants, and we talk about talking to our plants and the plant dying. It's because plants have souls. So God created the vegetative soul. It's not the same as human soul. It's distinct. Then we have the animalistic souls. Animals have souls. So God created all these three types of souls, and we can find that, or we can discuss that under metaphysics. There are different types of souls, which comes under different types of beings. Then the next word is epistemology. And what epistemology is the nature of knowledge, meaning the way that we learn. It's one of the branches of philosophy. But epistemology, again, it's not a dirty word. It just describes how God created us. And by the way of him creating us, gives more clarity to how we learn. Long time ago, a lot of theologians attempted to wrestle with this theology, this principle of epistemology. This branch of philosophy. How do we learn? You know, how did God create us to learn? That was the question. Some believe that we were born with a clean slate, and as we experience things in life, that slate get filled up with the experience. Then some argued on the other side of it by saying we were born pre-coded with information by God. And as we go through life, we exercise what's already in us. So whether you believe that we're born with a clean slate and we pick up information, or whether you think the information is already embedded in us and we just exercise or actuate it, that's up to God in terms of which one is true. But let me say this. We are constantly learning as human beings. That's part of epistemology, how we learn. We are constantly learning. Where God knows everything, all things at one time in his oneness, we as humans, we learn things discursively. That means one after another. We learn how to add, for example, in math, before we can get to multiplication. And then once we get to multiplication, then we get to division. Then once we get to division, ultimately we get into geometry, and we get into algebra, and we get into trigonometry, and we get into physics and all this other stuff. So they don't teach us physics first without teaching us numbers. So we as human beings, we learn discursively. This is why we have kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, because those psychologists or educators, they have studied human behavior in terms of how we're made. And the best way to teach a human is discursively, one thing after another. Not too many of us can handle a whole lot of things that we never knew before all at once. And then some things have to come before the other thing for the latter things to make sense. So what am I saying? I'm saying, as a listener, take stock of where you are. Where are you in terms of your Christian education? If you're honest with yourself, you may say, I'm on milk. Well, if you're on milk, that's fine, but you can't stay on milk. You have to go to Bible study. You have to read Christian books. You have to read the Bible. You have to study the Bible. You have to cross-reference the Bible in terms of the words. You have to get a lexicon. And all of this will help you to move from milk to meat. And really, that's what it's about. Knowing your learning style, knowing how God has created you uniquely, but yet in a general sense, all human beings have things alike. So there are some things that are across the board in terms of how we learn. Preaching is a good example of how we learn. We're there. We are open. We're listening to the minister break open the word of life. But then we can't leave it there, because preaching on Sunday mornings most of the time does not give us an opportunity to ask the minister questions about the sermon. So then we go to Bible study. Bible study should afford us the opportunity to say, excuse me, there I have a question about something that you said, a word that you mentioned. Then that minister should be open enough to take time out of that Bible study to answer your question. And if that's not being done, then you're not getting fed. And as you're getting fed, you're also availing yourself outside of the elements of the church walls to study your Bible. When I was taking my seminary courses, oftentimes I would get up at 4:00 a.m. To not disturb the family, so I could have my quiet time and to study my notes, study the Bible, to pray and be ready by the time the rest of the family got up. So that was my attempt to sacrifice or carve out times in my Christian walk so I can be productive for the Lord in terms of knowing more about him and to commune with him and to grow in him and to know him better, because God is wholly other and we must engage in proper study in order to glorify him. So we talked about philosophy, right, which means the love of wisdom or the study of the love of wisdom. We talked about metaphysics, which is beyond the physical, such as prayer, angels, ontology, beingness, human beings, and other forms, animals, and plant world, and all of that. Then we talked about epistemology, how we learn, the nature of knowledge. And so knowing these principles will help us in our journey of being used by God himself to glorify himself and to work through us so that others can be blessed. So we'll continue our discussion in terms of the reality of Christian apologetics and how engaging in apologetics can help your Christian walk and help your ministry, because we are doing something God wants us to do and have mandated for us to do. And by being obedient and doing what he asks us to do, there are blessings in store that we will not get anywhere else. So it's important that we are obedient, that we step out on faith beyond our comfort zone and do what the Lord has asked us to do. Again, thank you so much for listening to us. Our time has run short. We'll continue this topic next week. And remember, we are in need of your financial support as well as your prayers. Please go online to srministries.org to donate. And remember to continue to do for the truth what so many people do for a lie. Have a blessed day.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries. For more information about the ministry, to send an email, ask a question, or support the ministry, visit online at srministries.org. That's srministries.org. Listen again next week at this same time. And remember, Titus 1:9 says, hold firm to the trustworthy message as has been taught, so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Sound Reasoning Ministries, srministries.org.
What happens when a writer and former history teacher goes toe-to-toe with his best friend, a nationally touring stand-up comedian? Total carnage, that's what. Two men enter, and two men leave, because that's how it works.
Actually, you get hilarious, real, and insightful conversations about life, history, culture, faith, and everything in between.
Join me, comedian Johnny W., and my pal, author and speaker John Driver, for Talk About That at lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.